Good morning.
Oh, Julie. Welcome.
Good morning to you, Julie. Go ahead.
Good morning, Julie Calamine. This is Julie Prochinski, and I'm here with the KRFY Morning Show's Garden Life, a monthly feature about gardening as the antidote for our world today, a way to honor and embrace our Mother Earth, nourish and strengthen our families, and a tonic for our community. Well, Julie, Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year to you, Julie Prochinski. We must be thinking along the same lines if we both were just not even holding off to say good morning to everyone.
We just couldn't wait to start out the new year.
So here it is into the new year, and it's busting in with typical Sandpoint weather. So I'll give a short weather report, and then we'll introduce our morning guests. We've got two of them. Today, we've got some patchy fog before noon. Otherwise, it's going to be mostly cloudy and then becoming sunny. That's good news for the skiers up at Schweitzer.
Absolutely.
Right. Tonight, more patchy fog. Lows around 25. And Wednesday, still a chance for a little bit of nice sunny weather. And then it looks like we're back into some rather gloomy weather again. Highs above freezing. Lows a little bit below freezing. That's not really gardening weather, is it?
It isn't. But boy, I'll take the sun.
Yeah, me too. A couple days of it will be
It helps so much.
It'll be an antidote for
this
week.
Yes, it will. An antidote. You're right.
Yes, it will.
All right. Well, today we'll take a moment to look back at our show and what happened in the garden last year. You know, here it is, the 10th day of January, and this is our 10th episode.
Wow. Spooky.
So it's my pleasure to welcome our guest, Jennifer Jensen from the University of Idaho, Extension Educator, and Karen Bennett, President of Bonner County Gardeners Association. Or should I say, welcome back to both of you gals. They were both on our show last year. So the year went by so fast, and I really need a chance to reflect, to remember what happened, and to ask you gals, first of all, thank you for coming in, and are we back to normal in your organizations? Jennifer?
Yes. Well, thank you for having me. And for the most part, we are back to normal. Most of our programs are going to be offered this year, and most of them will be offered in the same format as they had been in the past, although we have incorporated webinars as an option for some of our classes because we found that that worked best for some of our participants, especially for those winter classes when you're not always able to get there in person. So we still have the in-person option, but we have been offering an online option as well for some of our programs.
And you did that all last year as well.
We did, yes.
And small farming tours, did you have that last year?
Last year we did have some of our small farming workshops, but not the Bonner County Farm Tour. We still did not offer that last year just out of being extra cautious. But our other programs like the Master Gardener program, we also had started a lunch hour learning session once a month last year. So that went as just an in-person program.
And that'll continue this year.
That
as well.
Will, yes, yes.
Very
and
good.
We are planning to offer the Bonner County Farm Tour this coming summer.
Great.
So keep an eye out for that.
That's great. And Karen, what happened with your organization last year that brought you back to normal?
Excellent. Thanks for having me, first
yes.
of all.
Yes.
Well, we started back with our membership classes, and we did an online option last year. And then we also resumed our home horticultural classes. We had a class on garlic last year. And then, of course, we're always busy with school gardens, and we had a garden tour this last summer as well. So pretty much back into full swing of things.
That's great. And so this year's calendar will look pretty much like last year's calendar.
Hopefully a little bit more. We are doing the membership classes again, which start up at the end of January, January 31st. And then we are going to resume more home horticultural classes. And then we'll have a garden tour. But this year, I want to add something different. We usually have a garden tour that has a lot of flowers in it. But a lot of people have been mentioning that they want more vegetables. And a lot of our students are very interested in growing gardens and growing food, especially with inflation, cost of food. And So it's definitely something people are interested in. So we're going to try to do a veggie garden tour. Everything from just a little small garden that somebody may have to larger, you know, more substantial gardens. And then also probably try to visit a couple of the gardeners that supply the farmers market, just so people can see sort of a range of growing vegetables in our area.
Yeah, Karen, I'd like to back up to the membership classes for a minute. Bonner County Gardeners Association has a very special set of courses that allows you to qualify for membership. For listeners who have not heard you before, give us just a quick synopsis of what that is. What is that class?
So in order to join our organization, you have to be basically a master gardener or some type of equivalent if you have a botany degree or something. So we offer courses that a little bit similar to U of I, but not as rigorous. And it's more just for membership so that we have qualified individuals that can reach out to the community and answer questions and teach classes. So we want to make sure that there's a good base level of knowledge. So the membership classes are there to help people in the community who, you know, just really want to know how to learn, you know, learn how to garden and be good gardeners and then, you know enough to help other people.
Yes, really a jumping off point where we learn something and then learn how to learn. I'm a Bonner County gardener myself, so I need to disclose that. And then another question for you, and this is related to the garden tour because I've helped host the garden tour for a number of years, and you're exactly right. There are many gardens that are flower gardens, but at the same time, it's been fun that many of those home gardens have incorporated food within their floral gardens, and I've enjoyed that a lot over the years. So it will be nice to add some more vegetable garden oriented homes or gardens to this tour. I'm looking forward to it.
I have to say that's kind of my favorite part because I am a vegetable gardener. So when I go to some of these gardens and see these little leeks popping out or, you know, beds of vegetables, it's really exciting for me.
Will they be two different tours then? Or
Yes. We're looking at two separate tours. Because a flower garden, the flower tours, you know, people's gardens look really beautiful a little bit earlier than the vegetable gardens. We're going to wait a little bit later for that. So we have, we're able to see vegetables with vegetables on them. So
great. That's great. That's a great idea.
And then to Jennifer, tell us about the U of I's Master Gardening Program.
So the Idaho Master Gardener Program is similar to the membership program, as Karen said, but it is geared towards training volunteers to then help other gardeners. Not all of our participants become certified volunteers, but that is the goal of the program. And so we cover similar topics, but we also have a heavy focus on plant diagnostics so that those volunteers can then help with our plant clinic. And the plant clinic is something open throughout the summer when any gardeners can come in and discuss problems that they might have in their gardens, bring in samples of insects or diseased plants, and then the Master Gardener volunteers help diagnose the problem and look for any possible solutions.
And when are these classes beginning?
Our class also begins January 31st and runs through the beginning of April. Our classes both will be on Tuesday and Thursday mornings.
And so they aren't together?
Some
are.
We do have a few that overlap.
And is there still room for people to join, or are the classes filled?
The Idaho Master Gardener Program here in Bonner County is still open. We have some space available.
We do as well.
Wonderful.
Is there a cost?
There is a cost for our program at the Extension office. It's $110 to cover the handbook and other supply materials that you receive during the program.
Ours is $150, and that also includes our membership fee.
Oh, okay.
And materials. We also use the Master Gardener manual.
So what happened last year in your garden that is foremost on your mind that you're looking toward this year and wondering if the same thing is going to happen, or give us a synopsis of what last year's growing season was like for both of you?
My personal growing season started off a little rocky with as cool and wet of an early summer that we had. I lost some plants because of that. My slug population in my garden was very happy, but my plants were not. So I'm hoping that that is a little bit different and maybe I can help manage that a little bit different this year, knowing that that may be an issue. But otherwise, once the summer got going, great tomatoes, great potatoes from my garden, and carrots were a good success this year in my garden. Also, the zinnias. I love a mixture of flowers and vegetables, and so some of the zinnias did especially well this year.
Yeah, and a zinnia is a good plant to interplant with your veggies, right? They can help with pests.
Yes, they, you know, any diversity that you can have in your garden can help confuse those pests. When it's a monoculture and they can go down and feed off all the plants, then that's not the best situation. But interspersing a variety of vegetables, fruits, and flowers together can be beneficial.
Sure. Now I have to ask this group, was it only me or did the slugs seem bigger than ever last summer? They almost looked like they were going to climb on my arm and I wouldn't be able to get them unpeeled. They were huge.
Yes, I had some big ones as well.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, they had a good summer, I think. And Karen, tell us about your garden. What did you find last year?
Well, last year was a great year for sunflowers. I planted a lot of them and some of them planted themselves. So I had a lot of those. I'm a very big berry person. I love strawberries and blueberries. And so I planted raspberries, a lot of those. We had a really good crop of that. I had zinnias as well. I do love my flowers. Mm-hmm. So especially the edible ones. Those are some of my favorites. So I did a lot of nasturtiums and violas. But otherwise, it was a pretty good garden year. I did a lot of pumpkins. I think those did rather well. We had this long season, so we had a really good go in the fall that allowed those to ripen.
I feel like I'm the color person for this interview. So now I want to mention to you, Julie, we could have an entire morning show on edible flowers, I think.
Yes, we could.
It would really be fun. Let's make a note.
Let's do that. That sounds great. I really want to talk a little bit about what we should do to help our pollinators, because I know in town it was a bust. The cherry crop, my cherry crop was a bust. The apples didn't do very well. And I really feel that early spring, I don't know if they just died out before they pollinated or do you have any solutions to pollination or help for the pollinators? Are you mason bee lovers? Anything of that sort?
I do think something like mason bees or some of our other native bees, if you can help support those populations. And again, having a variety of flowers that are blooming throughout the whole gardening season so that they do have a food source throughout that whole season can be beneficial. So that's just one option to help with that.
Mm-hmm. And I'm always a little bit confounded about the early blooming flowers because, you know, spring can be so unpredictable here. And I can think of a few things, but I'm always thinking, oh man, if I just had more ideas. I think of shrubs, some of the blooming trees, but are there ones that I'm missing that are really good ones? Spring? The crocus? I don't know.
Probably all the bulbs.
Yes.
The
hellebores. Hellebores are great.
Hellebores, yes, they are super.
My willows also bloom really early, and those seem to be and the currants. So those seem to be some of my good early bloomers.
And those maple trees get going.
Yes, blue spruce. You'll see bees and blue spruce, you know, getting pollen from the tips. Mm. So, you know, again, back to the diversity, they just have a big blend of everything that's happening all through the summer, not just late fall or late summer blooms. Yes. So school gardens, tell us about that, Karen. Let us know what's happening with all the schools. I saw the whole list of schools that have gardens.
Yeah, we have volunteers we usually have one volunteer in charge of each garden. Not only school gardens, but we sometimes work with churches. And we, you know, they go and they help the kids. Sometimes they go plant with them. Sometimes it's instructional. We just try to help give them direction and then oversee the different schools. And you know, it depends on what kind of involvement we can get from the school as well. Mm-hmm. So our volunteers go to help, but we definitely need parents and teachers to be laborers too. Those are big gardens, all of them.
Yes, and I help out at Sagal Elementary, and it's the fourth graders and sometimes the fifth graders. And those kids are a lot of fun, and some know a lot about gardening already. Others don't know a thing. Some don't want a speck of dirt on their fingers, and others, you know, are very excited about it. And it's just fun to watch them learn a little about where their food comes from.
Yes, and all the science and all the lessons. Do you have lesson plans, or is there a curriculum?
Not necessarily. Mm-hmm. I did Northside 1 year, and I did have every week a curriculum. So it just depends on the volunteers. And what they're working. It's very much customized for each school and for each teacher and the grades. So
it sure is. And a shout out to Tom Sawyer from Sagal. He's been a great, staunch supporter of that program. And then also my partner, Don Childress, who's always able to show up when I'm not able to. So thank both of you gentlemen for helping with that project.
Yes. Last year, Jennifer, back to the University of Idaho, you had what was that? Was that a food to table little conference at the end of the summer? Tell us a little about that.
Yes, that was our food summit, and that was geared towards anybody that's just interested in the food system, in the local food system here. We called it the Selkirk Pondere Food Summit to sort of represent the whole food shed, so where our local food is coming from. And we tried to highlight some of the producers that are in the area, and then also just talk about how could we maybe improve our whole food system. And so we had some good discussions come out of that. We are planning to offer that again this coming year. So, I think it was very well received.
Is that an invitation?
No, this was open to the public.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that. I'm sorry I missed that. I thought that would be very interesting because what a mystery. Where does our food come from?
Yes, and we do have a fairly robust food system here in the area.
Yes.
Between all the producers at the farmers market and the livestock producers. But there's the food system looks at the whole entire process, so including restaurants that can incorporate local food, and then even onto the waste streams. How might we better handle our waste from the food production so that it can be reused, composted, whatever, back into the whole process?
Wow, the whole cycle then.
Right.
That's great. Yeah, composting, it seems like that's a whole new dawn coming that we really need to look at how we can use it and how we can reuse it.
Yes, I think soil health in general is incredibly important, and it's becoming more of interest to gardeners, I feel like, in the last couple years, and the overall soil health and how you can improve that whole ecosystem to then improve your garden.
Yes,
is important.
It gets depleted quite quickly when you're growing in the same place, especially if you're growing the same crops all the time.
Yes.
Yeah, and so let's talk about xeriscape gardening. I mean, now with California getting deluged, it's hard to think about it being too dry, but everyone should think about protecting our water and not using it without thought. So what are your plans for reducing your irrigation or reducing your watering?
So I think there's certain irrigation systems that can help reduce your water use, a good drip system so that you're not losing water to evaporation from an overhead sprinkler is beneficial. Utilizing mulches and that incorporating that organic matter into the soil so that it has a better water holding capacity can help reduce your overall water use. But then just selecting the plants that are a little bit more drought tolerant, that don't require so much water, is also beneficial. So certain easy ones to look at are some of the native plants, because those do well with our native conditions, obviously. But then there's a lot of other plants that also are fairly drought tolerant.
And we're an interesting sort of microclimate here, in that this time of the year, all we think about is enough water. And in the spring, we feel that way. And then June comes around and it can just simply not rain until September.
Yes.
It's a really weird kind of water system here.
I believe it. There is a change that's happened as far as our precip in the summer. Just, we have to look at gardening a little differently than maybe we did 10, 20 years ago, where I never worried about not getting enough rainwater, and now it is a situation. And the other thing I found with my garden last year was dry for so long, the tops got so hard that I even ended up mulching everything that was exposed, because it was not good for it to be that dry and cracked up.
I agree.
A
very
different
dry
year last year.
Yes.
Very dry. Well, Julie, any other questions for our gals?
Boy, I sure don't. You've done a great job covering things. I think you ought to both let listeners know how they would be able to contact your organizations, and if they're interested in signing up for the courses, that information would be helpful to hear again.
Go ahead, Jennifer.
Okay, so for the University of Idaho Extension Office, you can call our office to learn about more programs or to sign up for the Master Gardener program. That number is 208-263-8511. And then you can also email our office at bonner@uidaho.edu.
Very good. And Karen?
Thank you. You can reach us at we have a really great website, very informative, and has a lot of information about what's going on with our organization, and that is at bcgardeners.org, or you can give us a call at 208-265-2070.
Well, great. And our last point of the day is our anecdote to share with everyone in the listening audience. An anecdote is, what is it about your garden that improves your life or enhances your life? Jennifer?
So just one anecdote I think that the garden provides is it helps keep me hopeful. I'm always hopeful, especially this time of year as I'm planning my garden. I'm hopeful that my plants will do well. I'm hopeful that the little seeds I start grow. I'm hopeful that my irrigation system works well this year. So gardening in general just keeps me hopeful.
That's great. And Karen?
I have to agree. It's hope. For me, I know that all my little plants are sitting out there waiting, and all the little buds and the flowers are just waiting for it to get warm, and then they're all going to sprout and be so beautiful. And so I feel that right now that's me just sitting there waiting for it to get warm and going through seed catalogs and sketching out my garden and trying to wait for those warm weather days to come.
How nice. And I agree with both of you. And, you know, as the summer ends, sometimes I feel like, oh, enough gardening already. But we get this period of rest and reflection and thinking about next year's. And this quiet time replenishes me and gets me really ready for another year of whatever's going to happen. And it's always exciting.
Thank goodness we live where there are seasons. I wouldn't like to live where it was always the same. So we've had Karen Bennett with the Bonner County Gardening Association here and Jennifer Jensen with the University of Idaho Extension Office. Thank you so much, gals, for being here with us. This is our first episode of Garden Life in 2023. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
It's been great. All right, folks, we're going to have a short song break, and then Julie Perchinsky and I will be back to recap some of the shows from earlier in this year and mention the takeaway that each of us took away.
And this is Karen's choice, Peter Gabriel.
actually this one. Oh, it can be Peter Gabriel.
Yes, let's put Peter up.
Let's see if we can do that. Yes. All right. Salisbury Hill. Here it comes.
Welcome back to the Garden Show. I'm here with Julie Calamine. My name is Julie Prochinski, and thanks for joining us.
Yeah, and for those of you just joining, this is KRFY Community Radio for the Idaho Panhandle. We're all volunteers, mainly all volunteers, Julie, and support ourselves with contributions from you all and underwriters, and then lots of volunteer support. So if that's of interest to you, don't be afraid to go online or give us a call. We're at 265-2992.
All right. And Happy New Year, Julie. I know I told you that already. This is 2023, January 10th. And I thought we would take a moment and look back on not just this great interview we had with Jennifer and Karen from the University of Idaho Extension Office, Jennifer Jensen and Karen Bennett with the Bonner County Gardeners Association, who were both on our shows last year. And as I said earlier, this was our 10th show.
Wow. It went quickly.
It did. I'm feeling a little more comfortable, but still, oh, so much to learn. And it's really fun being a volunteer broadcaster. I thought when I started helping at KRFY, I thought, oh, I'll never broadcast. I don't want to be on the radio. But we needed a garden show.
We did. And I remember you saying that year after year, and we would encourage you, and you'd say, yes, a garden show would maybe be the only thing I would consider. And here you are, and look at all these great shows you've produced.
Yeah, let's take a look back and relive some of our highlights for 2022, which I think is a good idea to do as the years go by faster and faster.
Yes, before we went on air, Julie was saying, and I think it's a little funny, and that's why I'm going to repeat it. She said, I look back on my year and I think, what did I do all year? At least we have this, Julie.
Yes, we
know
do.
We did this much.
It's in black and white.
That's right.
Yeah, we started with trees. In March, we had Kyle with the U of I Organic Manager there, Kyle Nagy, and Rich Del Carlo, owner of Peregrine, and they came in and talked about trees at our very first episode, and we learned a lot on that one, I believe.
We sure did. I learned things about pruning fruit trees, my shrubs, even our cane fruits.
Yes.
I learned what to do with those.
Yes, keeping, not trimming them in the fall was a whole new experience for me.
That's
my
right.
My raspberries, leaving them alone so that they held any kind of energy they had in the old canes and could survive.
I know. I really took away a lot from that interview.
Yes. And just a preview, he'll be on our February show. Kyle will be back.
Yes, great.
Talking about the orchard out there.
Yeah, which is, he doesn't exactly call it heirloom. There's a term he uses that's similar, but that is a fun experience if you can get out there in October when they're doing their apple tasting.
Yes,
too. Love
yes, it.
It
is. How many? 42, 40?
Something like that.
A lot of apples out there.
It was a little bit like sampling perfumes, you know, like they say your nose can't differentiate after two or three. I was starting to get that way after about 10 apples. Like, what is this? I don't know if this tastes any different from the last 10 I just tried.
And apples aren't just all for eating either. There's a lot of different kinds of apples.
For sure. That was a lot to learn about apples, and especially the ones that are not just our top three or four we see in the grocery store.
Yes. And then in April, we had Diane Green, the Doyen of Organic Gardening in the area. And then they had celebrated 30 years growing out there at Green Tree Naturals. And she talked about seed starting.
Yes, she did. And she's been such a resource to this community over the years. She's given classes on everything from seed starting, soil health, compost. She is in the top group of people who know what they're doing in gardening in this
Absolutely.
Area.
Absolutely.
Love
and,
her.
And seed saving. And it was so endearing that she said, planting a seed is a magical thing. I had to write that down in quotes. Because after 31 years in the business, she still finds it magical.
Yeah, a little miracle.
A miracle.
And she still appreciates it and gets excited about it.
That's right.
Oh, neat.
And in May, we had the show Going to the Market, and we had Kelly Burt, market manager, to talk about Sandpoint's Farmers Market and how it began. in 88 with 10 vendors. And at its height, it had 100. It has 100 vendors as part of it. And Kelly was really neat to listen to.
Yeah, very passionate about the farmer's garden, and I can see why. What a gem we have in our community.
Yes, we do. We do. And she and all the things that they do, they support the food bank. They have a kids' day. They support the SNAP program, the food stamps program, so that people can actually buy twice what that money will buy. So it's really a neat thing about our town.
I know it. I just think that the SNAP access is one of the most amazing things.
I do too. And that's statewide. That's an Idaho program.
Yeah. 2-for-1.
Yes.
And fresh food and learn how to cook that and keep your kids fed. I love it.
Yes. Then to June. In June, we had Manuela airing Let's Plant was that episode. And she was the owner of Florescape Nursery for 20 years. She is a well-known grower out in the Kokalala area, Westman Kokalala. I went to her nursery every year.
I've been there a number of times, too, and we miss her in the Sagal area because
yes.
It was a great resource. And not only that, I miss saying her name, Manuela.
Manuela. She's a lovely, lovely person. And
yes,
her, too, she would talk about treating seedlings like a baby. You have to, they're tender, they're hungry. You have to take care of them. Can't be harsh with them. And that was also endearing.
No spanking.
No spanking of those babies. Cover them from the sun. You know, all those things you do to give a baby, any baby, a good start.
Right.
Take care of them.
Right. It's a common thread, isn't it, Julie?
Yes.
Just the care and feeding of young plants, and then they'll help us after we help them.
That's right. You can't ignore them.
Nope. Nope, nope.
In July, we had How to Have a Happy Garden. Happy equals healthy. So there we had Jennifer in for the whole episode talking about pests and disease and all those fun things that Extension Office knows all about. And I was even out there myself a couple of times saying, Jennifer, what's this? What did I do?
Yeah, the Extension Agency is such a resource, another great resource for this community, because you can have just one individual problem and they will have people that can help you solve it. And sometimes a single problem can be so frustrating.
Yes, and, yes.
Yes.
Especially unresolved. When she said that about the soil health today, talking about that being maybe one of the, I don't know, conditions that people are really looking at now. That's also what she said in July, is that pest and disease control start at the beginning. They start with good practice, taking care of those seedlings, enriching your soil, you know, all those things you should do before you plant, and then you won't have as many problems. And all organic books talk about that. Starting good, starting right.
And I also remember Jennifer mentioning how important it is to reduce stress, like making sure that the water happens before things get wilted and dry and, you know, your nutrients are there present for the plant.
Right. Taking care of that adolescent.
Yeah. Avoiding stress. Boy, that's
a
lesson for life, isn't it?
It certainly is. Oh, and let's see. Oh, in August we had that tower move. Remember that, Julie?
Oh. That's unforgettable, Julie. We'll all remember that for many years.
Yes, that was when we went off the air, through the air, not the website, but went off the antenna got pulled down, and it took Jack and Susie and a whole bunch of other people some time to get us back up on the air, sounding better than ever is what I hear.
Yes, and as Julie mentioned, we did continue to live stream, but it certainly was a disruption in this radio station for a couple months.
We learned a lot, and we're better than ever.
Yes, but by the way, it was expensive, and we online giving drive trying to recoup some of that expense. So if you haven't thought about helping us out with that yet, you certainly could. And again, it's done by going to krfy.org or giving us a call at 265-2992.
We'd love to have you as a member as well. We have a whole family of members here at KRFY, and we'd love for you to join us. So think about that. Moving on to September, this was a fun one. We had Karen Bennett, who was just here with the Bonner County Gardeners Association, and Robin Roberts, Flowers from the Heart, the cut flower grower extraordinaire at the farmer's market.
Boy, does she know flowers.
Oh, boy, and she's driving that flower van. She is all about flowers.
It was great.
I got to take a trip out to her garden. It was fantastic.
Wow.
Yes.
That was fun.
It was fun. I've never seen anything like it. Flower as far as you could see.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and it's interesting. Karen Bennett is a flower lover, but she's also a home gardener. And I don't know, maybe this show helped create her idea of having two garden tours.
Yes, I like that.
We can't take credit, but it might have helped.
It might have helped. I like the idea of two garden tours because they are all mixed together. In most everyone's garden, everybody has a little bit of both. But boy, there are those flower lovers and there are those vegetable lovers that can really show off a garden.
That's right. Well, October was another good one, Julie.
Oh, yes.
Everyone loves it when we have the opportunity to interview Preston Andrews or Bob Wilson. They are such resources about on the topics of native plants and care for native plants. And it was
need
just great.
For native plants.
Yes. The reason why we want to maintain and use native plants everywhere in our home gardens.
Yes.
And maintain them in a greater region.
Yeah, not just for ease of gardening and maybe water saving, but also for all the other little critters that share our garden with us who are used to this habitat, and they need those native plants to survive.
Yeah, connects with our pollinators, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. There's
sure
the
does.
pollinator answer.
Mm-hmm.
In November, we had Kim Durr from Panhandle Special Needs here to talk about holiday greenery. They have that Christmas market every year, and they make those Christmas wreaths. Did you get a chance to go out there?
I did, and it was wonderful. I hadn't been there before, and I didn't really understand how their business, their whole organization worked. And after the interview, it was just great to be able to get out and see things happening.
Yes, Work Services, a training program for that our population here in town.
Yeah, what a really giving organization.
It is. It's all about giving for them.
Right.
And then finally in December, we had the professional writer, Renelle Hansen, out, who writes Dirty Secrets for the Sandpoint Reader. And she was our final episode of 2022. And what a nice way to end.
It really was. And she was so interesting on so many levels. Areas of gardening and her interest in writing and how she came to be at the Reader. It was just really inspiring.
It was. It was. And bringing to mind the pollinator situation and all the other critters that share our garden space and how we can protect them and invite them in, really.
Yes, one thing I remember about her interview, Julie, she writes Dirty Secrets, but she also is quite happy to have a rather messy garden, and I appreciated that because
yes,
she's a very experienced gardener and didn't mind that a bit and felt it was good for the animals, for the little creatures,
yes,
and she appreciated the aesthetic of a more messy garden,
yes,
which I do too.
Yeah, I learned a lot from that, from her, is just the idea that leaving those seed pods in the garden upright is so much better for the birds and all the other critters and hidey holes and different things for the animals, because nothing really happens through the winter.
I know. I'm kind of pondering that, though, still, Julie, because in my lawn, so many of my flowers that are in the perennial beds end up in the lawn, and she didn't give that a thought. She said, just mow it down, don't worry about it. And so I'm still a little bit coming to terms with that.
Yes.
But I may get there by spring.
Now, I learned that when I had planted native, not alder trees, but
aspens.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, boy.
When I planted aspens and had to mow down all the babies every year for 12 years after I planted them. And that was a lesson learned.
Yeah. Well, what lesson was learned?
And I'm not going to task them in a little garden. Off to the distance, it's good, but in a little garden, they came up everywhere.
I think there's an aspen tree that's cloned itself somewhere in Asia that's the largest, if it isn't the fungi, it's that massive aspen complex that is the largest living being on the planet.
Yes, I believe it.
Yeah.
I think I have that aspen family is in the neighborhood, but not in my yard anymore.
Not anymore. That's a good one.
Finally got it out. That was a lesson learned about what's appropriate for a city garden.
Yes, so maybe the lesson learned is that if you can live with what the aftermath of a plant that's willing to spread is, go for it. If not, be a little more selective.
Sure.
Right.
Sure. Or, you know, you just mow it down.
Yeah.
Just like Renelle said, don't stress out.
Yeah.
So that concludes the 2022 recap of our 9 shows. And wasn't that fun? We really listen to some professional people, and this community of growers, they teach love of the garden. It was really a neat year.
You know, Julie, I appreciate this recap. I hope the listeners are also appreciating it, but I'm remembering each interview and the takeaways that we learned, and it's just giving me that happy, hopeful feeling about next year's garden.
Yes, hope. That's the word.
That's right.
And speaking of hope, what is your antidote to share today? Do you have one?
Well, my antidote, oh boy, I kind of think my antidote is just taking a quiet time and planning and thinking and enjoying the peaceful time without everything that goes on during a busy summer garden.
That's right. I enjoy stepping out in my yard and looking at the bones of my garden, you know, the bones of the big trees, thinking about how I'm going to trim, if I'm going to trim, if I'm going to top. And shrubs, where I want more shrubs, less shrubs, where I want visual fence or privacy, and just the different projects I'm going to try out this year. But I do have to tell you, one project I saw that was super fun was taking willow or dogwood, something that roots easily, cutting a bunch of stems of them, and then making a rickrack.
Neat.
Yeah, I'm going to try that out for a border.
Oh, very neat. Yeah. So you'll create sort of a living fence, basically.
Yes, a living fence.
Yeah. Well, so what I hear about your time now is sort of a time of contemplation and design and planning. It's time for planning.
Yes, nothing on paper yet, all in my head.
Yeah, cool.
All right.
Well, great antidotes. All right, listeners, for those of you just joining us, this has been the KRFY Tuesday Morning Show, our once per month Garden Life show with Julie Prajinsky and me, Julie Calamine. Recapping 2022. It was a good year.
It was a good year. It was a fun year.
Yes.
But moving on, let's talk about the rest of the week morning shows.